Welcome to Season 2 of The Corporate Life, where we elevate the game for businesses and the top-level executives and corporate leaders. If Season 1 was about living a fantastic corporate life, Season 2 is about going deeper into the realms of big financial achievements and profound work satisfaction. Hi, I'm Hina Siddiqui, your host and a seasoned corporate warrior who's danced between loving and hating her corporate roles for years. I get it. The highs, the lows, the challenges, and the triumphs. In Season 2, we are bringing you unique insights, powerful tools, and inspiring conversations with experts and thought leaders in the corporate industry. So whether you are a top-level executive, a business owner, or someone aspiring to reach those heights, fasten your seatbelts. This season is your passport to conquering the corporate world with financial heroism and unwavering work fulfillment. Let's redefine success together. Hi, this is Hina Siddiqui and you are listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. Business is about making profits, and the kind of profits that businesses make or can make depend on the quality of their people. When I'm talking about the quality of the people, I'm not referring to the skill part. I'm talking about the emotional state of the corporate workforce. So you see how the business profit and happier workspaces are so connected. The happier the workspace, the more the profits. And in the fast-paced corporate cultures, anxiety is a big threat to happy workspaces. In this episode, I have with me Faust Ruggiero, who is a national and international corporate advisor and the award-winning author of the Fix Yourself Empowerment series. Faust is going to give us a simple blueprint for a happier and profitable work experience. Hi, Faust. So good to have you.
Ina, thanks so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
And I'm so excited about today's topic because as we were talking about this topic, like before we started recording, anxiety is a big demon and it's just everywhere, especially in the corporate world. And the problem is that it's not in the external environment and this demon lives within us. So you know how essential it is to win over it. What would you like to say on this first?
You know, Hina, you hit it right on the head. It's inside us. And I get that from a lot of people. Well, all these things are making me anxious. And they're, to some degree, that's true. But it's how we react. It's what we do with it. And we think it's all coming from out there. It's coming from inside. So when I'm advising people, particularly in corporate settings, I'm saying, you know, your workforce is going to be as strong as it is healthy. So if we start paying attention to how we address those issues with anxiety in the corporate settings, you're right. We have a much more productive environment to work with.
Exactly. And as they say in the business that everything has a cost. So what do you think is the cost of workspace anxiety?
Oh, my God. The cost is huge. Everything from people resigning positions to suicides to people taking off work. People are not productive at work. They're taking breaks just to clear their heads. They're not getting along well with each other. They're having a difficult time carrying out plans, which are necessary, particularly those strategic plans that are necessary to make a business productive. On so many levels, it interferes with what's going on.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that when the corporate people, they are not in the best of their mental state, the productivity goes really down. And that is directly affecting the business profits. And businesses, they are so much focused on profits, and which is a valid thing to do. So now the thing is that why this occurs and what do you think about it? What is the thing? And I would like to add before you answer to this question is that as I have been into the corporate sector, I have seen chronic anxiety. I have been into this for over a decade and I know that how serious the problem it is. Now the problem is that the anxiety is something which is inside of us. Like, you know, we can find the triggers outside, but it is already inside of us. So how it is, how it's possible for the management or the HR people to address this and to win over this anxiety thing?
You know, it's an interesting question you ask, and people will always introduce that to me. Well, how can we get our teams working more cohesively, less anxiety? And I always tell them, first, we need to start at the top. We have a, you know, we do it backwards. We go to our workforce and say, let's help them, when middle management and HR people and corporate executives are all dealing with anxiety. And you know as well as I do, in a corporate setting, the higher you go, the greater the demand, and the greater the demand produces more anxiety. And it produces all those ways, those coping devices, like more alcohol and those types of things. So, you know, we start at the top. We have to get people in executive positions and HR people to buy into the concept. Just what you said, it's inside us. It's not going anywhere until we decide to make some changes. And you know, corporations have a tendency to focus on corporate strategies. And I keep telling them, that's great. Those strategies are great. But who's delivering those? The people. And if they've got the anxiety, then we have to address that anxiety first. That's our foundation. Healthy people can carry out those programs much more efficiently than those that are struggling with anxiety.
Absolutely. And everyone has a history. So whosoever is coming into the workforce, like joining the workforce, has some history of, you know, some patterns about the emotions. So if they have anxiety as a pattern of their emotions, then definitely it's going to be triggered by something or the other, which is, of course, the corporate world is more focused on tight deadlines, completing the projects on time, and profit making and all that stuff. So it's really important to figure out, so how do you think it can be solved with the blueprint that you talk about? And before I talk about the blueprint, I would like to ask you, what is your why in being into this?
You know, I've been doing this for 40 years. I've been a psychologist practicing, and 35 years ago, someone said to me, can you help me with my business? And I went in and we started to do that. And it's been that way ever since. You know, it's nice to be able to go in and teach people about what they can do, and then to watch them, you know, to be happy about what they're, my God, we can do this. And it's changing the way we're doing things. And it was right in front of us all the time. And when you start that blueprint, the first thing you're starting, just like any other part of your business, is to be knowledgeable about what you're doing.
For long years, I believed that being money-minded was a bad thing. So I kept on avoiding money. In every job interview, I hesitated to negotiate salary and turned down every opportunity to make money. Even my coaching business functioned as a free service for a long time because the reason I got into coaching was to serve people. Then I started realizing the side effects of my wrong money mindset. Thanks to my coaches and mentors who set me up for money inflow while serving the world. Whatever career you are into, if your money mindset is distorted, you are going to struggle in your career. And the amazing fact is that you would not even realize that you are sabotaging your full potential, because all this happens at the sub and unconscious level. Your money stories are deep-rooted, particularly if you have seen a money-deprived childhood. The solution is to identify your patterns and let them go as fast as you can, because it's costing you your career. That's why the money mindset is a big part of all my coaching programs. Send me a quick mail to connect@authorhina.com to know more about my programs.
Corporations spend tremendous amounts of time gathering information about their product, about competitors and the market, and forecasting this and changing this. But they don't do that with mental health issues, depression, anxiety, and so forth. You know, so the first step is to learn everything about anxiety, then to learn how to apply it in your particular environment.
What do you think about it? That corporations, they spend a lot of time and money on conducting a skill-based training, you know, a program that most people are not interested in, and they are forced you know, to sit in the programs, and they are not liking it because this is at the very surface level. They are just, you know, being trained on this stuff. And they don't understand that unless the emotional issues, been addressed, the things are not going to change. The profits are not going to occur the way they want. So why they are not, bringing that attention to the part that the emotional state of the employee is so important, because happy employees are, I think, 13% more productive.
You know, you said it yourself. Their bottom line is the ledger. and how the business is doing. If you give them a program that they can look at in black and white and say, oh, yes, that increases profits, and they can see it, they're willing to go with it. But if you say to them, well, we're going to spend time on employee mental health, we want happy employees, they don't see a profit line there. They don't see how that translates into going into the black on the ledger and to being, you know, more powerful in what you do. So and until we train people to understand that the foundation of any good business is just what you said, it's not happy employees, give them whatever they want. It's let them know that we care about them, that they're important to us, that they are our most important resource. And when they see that, then they feel good about themselves and they come in and they want to do good work. But if we don't do that, they feel invalidated, they feel misled, and they will complain. And once that starts, that's like a cancer inside your organization. And now people are doing all the things they probably shouldn't, well, they should not be doing that affect your business. So it's always about getting those people into places that are healthy, happy, and productive, and then they work better for you.
Yes, absolutely. And these people are not understanding themselves that they are responsible for their emotional state. I'm talking about the employees. So there has to be somebody who needs to take responsibility. And because businesses are focused about profits, they need to be focused about the employees' mental well-being also. First, would you like to talk about the steps that are involved in creating a happier workspace?
When I go into corporations, even smaller businesses, you know, what I do is I sit down with management and HR people first. And I say, okay, fine. And they think I'm going to come in and give them their plan. I say, before I do all that, I'm going to get a lot of information from you. And I want to know about you because you're the ones that are going to be delivering this blueprint we're talking about to other people. Are you buying into it? Are you going to be able to expand on those concepts? Because it's one thing to say, these are the good things to do in business, but then it's your particular business that we have to modify this plan for. So I go into them first and I make sure that they're going to be able to deliver the plan. My second thing is just what I said. Now I'm going to streamline it. I'm going to make it applicable to their business. You know, if you go in and you're selling food or you're over here and you're selling industrial products, they're different markets. They're different ways you're going to deliver that. So we want to make sure that we're going to be specific about what we're going to develop. Then I'm going to give them all the steps to do that, that apply specifically to their business. And it always works. Yeah. I've never had a business or corporation that I've worked with. And when the management and the vice presidents and so forth, when they all come in and buy into it and they're part of that, it always works. If they tend to stay impersonal and, you know, above the crowd, I have a little more to work with at that point because we're back to the same thing. They don't care about us. They're probably not going to deliver the program. It'll be short-lived. We'll do this for 6 weeks, whatever it may be, and we're done. That's the other thing they have to understand. This is not a 6 week or an 8 week program. This is an everyday program that you're going to constantly use. We're changing a business culture is what we're doing.
Yes, that's very important. And also, like, when it's about the group coaching or group training, it may work even better when it's one-on-one. Like, it's very important for the coaches or trainers to listen to the people and, you know, what is their side of the story? What is there buried in the past that needs to, come on the surface and be dealt with it? So this is very important that we listen to them and we try to, I would say that we just do something to address their very individual issues and needs.
It's a very important part of this. You know, when I go into businesses, even if, example, I do an employee assistance program with an iron foundry. Now, you know, I knew nothing about iron and how they forge iron and make the parts they make. But I went into the foundry and I talked to the people at their machines. And what does this machine do? And what do you do here? And I got a real good idea of how these people work at their machines. You'd be surprised how many HR people and upper management don't know what these people do every day. They don't go through the factories. They don't walk the floors. That's one of the most important things you can do. Take your tie off, go in with your blue jeans or whatever, and spend one day talking to the people. That goes a long way. Ask them how they're doing. If you're the HR person, talk to them about personal life. How's everything going? Anything we can help you with? If you know there's a death in the family or someone suffering from a disease, bring that to their attention. Hey, how's everything going with that? Can we help you with that? Let them know that they're people and that they're important to you.
Yes. And your book also talks about this thing in detail.
About anxiety?
Yes.
Yes. And I go through that in the book, step by step. I talk about it just when you talked about it, it's inside us. It's physical. Anxiety, you know, we're talking about chemical imbalances. We're talking about physical things that affect us, hormone issues, thyroid issues, things like that. We want to get them healthy physically. We want to understand that. That's where it starts. Then it goes to the emotions and you have a difficult time rationalizing your thoughts. Then it hits the intellect and now you can't get all your thoughts together. And when all those things are occurring at the same time, it's going to be very difficult for your people to be productive. So understanding it is a huge part of this.
Absolutely. And first, what is your last piece of advice to the people who are listening to us, the businesses, and who are struggling with this issue of anxiety, which I think almost every business is experiencing this issue with their workforce?
I would tell you, with anxiety or any other employee-related issue, be knowledgeable about what you're talking about, because they're going to come to you if they have a problem. They're going to come to you because you went to them because their performance maybe was suffering or they're missing work. Somewhere along the line, you're going to communicate with these people. Be able to talk to them, understand what they're saying. If it's anxiety or depression or whatever it is, be able to understand that. And then it's great to talk to them, but then you've got to have something, some type of program you fall back on where you say, okay, I understand what you're saying. Now we have these people and this program in place to help you through this. It's our way of telling you you're important, but it's also our way of telling you that we need you healthy so you'll be productive for us. So, yeah. And employees, they will receive that. They will understand. They know they're there to produce. That's how they get their paycheck. But if we can tell them that they're part of this at a more personal level, it's so much easier to work with people that way.
Yes, that's very true. Of course, what is the best way to contact you and how can people work with you?
Easiest way to contact me is to go to my website. It is my name, www.fosterogerald.com. Everything about me is there. The books, if you're interested, information about me, excerpts from the books, all those kinds of things. So all the information is there. And there's a contact link. If people want to contact me, I do get back to them.
Thank you. And I'm going to include your information in the show notes section so that businesses or people can find you there, buy a book and contact you if they need your services. Thank you very much for this amazing conversation. I really thoroughly enjoyed and learned a lot from you today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure spending time with you.
Now, I would like to wrap up by saying that a positive work environment is not just about well-being. It's a strategic move for business success and increased profits. Don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know your number one takeaway from this enlightening conversation with Foz. That's it for this week. I'll see you next week with another interesting conversation about increasing business profits. Stay happy and safe. If you loved what you heard, don't forget to hit subscribe, share the wisdom, and throw in a cheeky review.